them.
Nudge your neighbor, say, neighbor, who are you listening to?
Welcome. You're listening to God in the Raw Ministries. It's time to power up your week. Stay tuned for a powerful message from Prophetess Dr. Charmaine Gilpert. Be blessed.
I bring you a quick word on today. And the word is, whose fault is it? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, whose fault is it? If you find the chapter, say amen. Reading verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. And then I'm going to hop to a couple of other verses. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Nudge your neighbor and say, neighbor, whose fault is it? Verse 7, 8, 9, and 10. Then Jesus answered them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Not your neighbor, say, neighbor, who are you listening to? I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Sorry, and shall go in and out and find pastor. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I want you to underline this. I am come that they might have life, have it more abundantly. I want you to underline fine green pasture. Hello? And I want you to underline more abundantly. Somebody ought to praise him. Amen. Amen. Jesus was going about his own business, he and his disciples. But as they passed by that way, there was a man that was there, blind from birth. Now, apparently, there must be some kind of argument that was going around in that vicinity that when you are born, you are supposed to have all the members of your body functioning. And if you were deformed, somebody was supposed to be blamed. It is either that you have committed some sin or your parents. So they ask the question, is it this man or his parents? Jesus said, no, it's not this man. And you know, the insidious thing is, if he was born like that, then what kind of sin could he have committed before birth? So really and truly, the question should have been, is it his parents? Why he was born like this? But the good news is, it is not the every man, and it is not the fault of his parents. The only reason why he was born like this is so that my name would be glorified. Not a neighbor, say neighbor. Do you know whose fault it is? And some of us should have an answer. Because some of us have an answer for everything. Every time a tree go to the right or to the left, there's some ghost over there. Oh, every time your head hurt, oh, somebody put something on me. Every time my mosquito fly by, oh, somebody sent something to obstruct me today. Every time you see somebody crooked, you go, you know, I know that boy parent, and his parents were so wicked, no wonder the child come out acting like that. Yet you walk around and you say that you have the Christ. Your mission is, Lord, did this person have this impediment so that your name can be glorified? How many times have you seen somebody with a situation? Have you gone over and said, can I pray with you? Oh, somebody magnify God right there. Come on now. Some of us even look at some little children, and it's a burden, dirty shame that some of us have already prophesied on them. You know that child ain't coming off to nothing. Some of us parents even look at our own children and tell them, you see how you act like your daddy? You're acting like your auntie? You're going to be just like your auntie. No wonder you got your auntie's eyes. Hello? Some of us don't even want to see our children walking like their daddy. Because, oh boy, now he's going to be a drinker like his daddy. Oh, he's going to be in drugs like his daddy. Somebody ought to jump up on their feet and say, I refute that lie in the name of Jesus. Somebody ought to stand on their feet and say, God, I know that my situation is to bring glory to your name. Oh, somebody praise God. Somebody lift up Jesus. Be seated. I don't care if no one in your family never been married. Maybe you're going to be the only one so that the name of God can be glorified. Hello? I don't care if everybody in your family is a drug addict. You don't have to be one. Or somebody ought to praise God. Can the name of God be glorified in your life? I know I have some folks sitting in here, and you're sizing up your family. You're sizing up the generation of curses. And you're saying, I know that my mama used to be like this. I know my mama carried a depression about her. I know that my daddy was this. And I know that my mother used to treat my father like that. And my father used to treat my mother like that. And I know it, that curse is on me. But let me tell you something, that the name of God can be glorified in your life. Jesus did not just say that to the disciples and leave it there. Jesus took the time out. Maybe he never have any waters, Sister Nav. So the word of the Lord said that he spat on the ground and he used his spit to make clay. Say, neighbor, when the glory of God is about to be seen in your life, you can't be too prideful. Because because the Lord will do some stuff that seems so out of character. But if you only just humble yourself under the power of God, Jesus spat upon the ground and he used his spit to make clay. After he made clay, he plastered the blind man's eyes. And after that, I believe that the man was not alone. Let me borrow your cane. He was not alone. Not only was he blind, but now he's double blind, y'all. Because he was born blind and now Jesus covered his eyes with clay. Hello? And from what I know about a blind person, you either carry a dog to lead you or a person to lead you, or you just have your stick that guides you. Huh? So let's just see how far I can get with my eyes closed. Jesus put the clay upon his eyes, and then Jesus had the nerve to say to the man, go and wash in the pool called Salome. Some of us would have already given up. You would have said, surely if this was the Christ, truly if this was my breakthrough, he would have opened my eyes right then and there. But Jesus said, son, go wash. Can you imagine? Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what anybody is saying about you now. I'm on my way to be cured. I'm on my way to be delivered. I don't know how long it's going to take me to get there. But if Jesus say go, oh, tell somebody I'm on my way. I'm on my way. You think people talk about you when you're in your dark situation? Wait until you get out. He went. He was washed. And his sight was made whole. Then here comes trouble. Because guess what? It was on the Sabbath day.
Come on now.
Jesus and his disciples should have been in church.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus. And according to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that was a huge sin. How dare you make mud on the Sabbath? How dare you send a man to be washed on the Sabbath? But then somebody said, the man can see. This is indeed a miracle. But the hypocrite says, I don't care. I don't believe that he was blind. The only way to prove it, we must go see his parents. When they got to the parents' house, the parents were afraid. Because listen up, they have already spoken to the young man. The young man said, yes, I am he that was born blind. And a man named Jesus. Tell somebody there's a man named by the name of Jesus. He made clay and he sent me to go wash, and the next thing I know, I'm seeing. They said, take me to your house. Come here. They take him to his parents. They said, is this your son? They said, that's my son. Was he born blind? Yes, he was. So how is he able to see? The word of the Lord said, because the parents were afraid, they said, he's of age. Ask him. He may have been blind, but he can speak. Tell somebody, I may be in my situation, but if I have a mouth, I'm going to open it and I'm going to cry for help. If I have a mouth, I'm going to open it and I'm going to praise. And when I get my breakthrough, ain't no devil in hell going to silence me. I'm going to let the world know that Jesus did it. Oh, not somebody, and let them know Jesus did it. So they asked the blind man again, how were you healed? He was so bold, he looked at them. He said, I told you before, and you didn't believe. If I tell you again, you still ain't gonna believe. In other words, I can imagine the boy said, get out of my yard before I start stoning you. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, this is a breakthrough day, and I'm here to ask you, whose fault is it? Because you see, some of you sit there and you blame everybody for your situation but yourself. You blame the preacher. The preacher didn't preach right. The preacher didn't call me out and prophesy. The preacher didn't anoint me. Oh Lord, my mama never sent me to school. And everybody is wrong but you. But I'm here with good news. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the door of the sheep. He said, many goes before me, but they went for just to rob and to destroy. But he said, I am. Some of us putting our trust in some folks. Some of us putting our trust in some things. But Jesus is on the scene. Jesus has shown up to let you know that I am the answer. I am your healer. I am your deliverer. Somebody praise him. Verse 9 says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pastures. When you come to the I am, you must find pastor. Pastor, you must find rest. Somebody praise him. You will be fed. Tell somebody, just get me to Jesus. Come on, tell somebody, if you can't help, get me to Jesus. There is no need for you being in my life. Come on, tell somebody, if you can't get me to Jesus, There is no need for you to be so close to me. Get me to Jesus. I am the resurrection and I am the life. I love this. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. Oh God, he that believeth. So I ask you, what are you eating? What are you drinking? Because when you come to the I am, somebody shout green, pastor. Some of us are listening to all different kind of voices, but we are not listening to the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are so many voices speaking in your head, so many voices going on in your mind, but I double dare you. I double dare you. The clay is already on your eyes. Girl, you gotta get you to the pool and wash. Because after you are washed, can nobody stop you? There are going to be many voices wanting to find out, how did you get here? So when did you get so spiritual? When did you start speaking in tongues like that? When did you start prophesying? When did you start evangelizing? I've met the Christ. Somebody call him by his name, Jesus. He said that when you come, you shall have life. Tell somebody, I don't just want to have life. I want to have life in abundance. Do you understand that that man could be still walking around with the clay on his eyes? But he did not just want clay and his eyes. He needed to be washed. Oh, somebody magnify God. Oh, somebody magnify God. Oh, somebody give God praise. Somebody give God praise. Rise and stand upon your feet and say that I know that I am better than this. Said, I know my life was meant to succeed. Said, I know that I am more than a conqueror. Said, Lord, where do I go from here? Come on, come on, come on, ask him, where do I go from here? Said, I can feel the clay on my eyes. Where do I go? Where do I go? In the end of the bus, Sukundiosa. Hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, I have placed clay in my people's eyes, but they refuse to get to the pool. You know, some of you that are listening to me by way of the airwave, and those of you that are listening to me in this room right now, you know exactly where you ought to be. You know exactly where you can get your breakthrough. But you'd rather to stay and sit down with the clay on your eyes, because that's where your friends are. Let me tell you something. When you want your breakthrough, honey, whomever you have to give up, oh Lord Jesus, help me, Holy Ghost. Whomever you got to leave, some of us need to get some people out of our lives so you can get you to your pool. You're there sitting down talking on that telephone with some folks you have no business talking to, when you should be getting you to your pool and getting washed. Oh Lord Jesus. And then when the clay is all dried up, let me tell you something. Water is not always in the pool, baby. Not a neighbor, say neighbor. When you get a word to go, make haste and do it now, because the pool don't always have water. Elijah was at a brook and God was sustaining him, but lo and behold, the day came when the brook dried up. So ask your neighbor what you're waiting on. Some of us saying, yeah, I'm going to the pool, I'm just waiting until I can see. I'm waiting until I can see my way. Listen. I'll be seated. Let me talk to you a little bit. You know how many of us sitting down saying, Lord, I know I pray for this, and Lord, I know I pray for that. You know? And I know you gave it to me. I'm just waiting for the money to show up in my hand. Well, let me tell you something. As a faith woman, that's not how it works. You pray for it, and then you get up and you make steps towards it. I don't know. Okay, so the dishwasher is broken. Lord, I need a new dishwasher. I need one too. Mine is broken too. Hello? And I'm not telling you anything that I'm not doing. Hello? I'm not waiting on that dishwasher money to show up, baby. I'm going where dishwashers are. Come on now. Is it over here? Is it this one? Yeah, but listen, you're sitting down at home when the Lord already have an angel that just knock over a dishwasher and put a little scratch on it and write Monica across it. Somebody shout discount. Somebody shout big discount. But you're sitting down at home crying. Well, you know, I know a dishwasher costs about $400, and I'ma just wait until $400 show up. You better get up off your lazy behind and go where dishwashers are. Who am I talking to? Who am I talking to? The clay is on your eyes and you can't see your way. But baby, find the pool.
Find the pool.
Tell somebody, get up, find the pool. Get up and find the pool. Have you ever invited someone to church? You invite the person to church because you know that the person have a serious situation going on. And you take the person to church, and then on top of that, the person sat in the service, listen to the preacher, and you still have to be the one to take the person by the hand and say, let me take you to the altar.
Amen.
My God, you want to tell me after I invite you here and you find out that Jesus is here, you couldn't get up out of your seat and come to the altar and say, pray for me, I want some clay on my eyes. All I know, every situation in my life that seems like a mountain is just there to give God glory. Say, devil, I know you show up in my house, but this situation is gonna give God praise. You may cut my light off, but God is gonna get praise out of it. Devil!
Thank you for joining God in the Raw Ministries. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Be sure to like, share, and subscribe. Partner with God in the Raw by calling 1-888-914-6346. Again, that number is 1-888-914-6346. And be a part of this magnificent movement. Until next time.